Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm really excited to have you all join me this week. So my motivational quote, you know the routine, is actually by Ann Landers today. And she says, "Nobody gets to live life backwards. Look ahead. That is where your future lies." Ah, retirement. Sounds like a great time of your life, doesn't it? Kind of an endless vacation. We wait for the day we don't have to sit in rush hour traffic, deal with a boss that is less than desirable, and we're able to play golf, sit on the beach, or travel, whatever your heart's desire. But getting there takes some doing, doesn't it? Are you prepared to enter retirement and live the same lifestyle as you do now, or a lifestyle that perhaps you're dreaming about? That's a big question to ask ourselves. If we don't prepare, we actually might not be able to retire at all, or retire with being able to have fun, relax, and enjoy. Don't stress. We have an expert today who's going to demystify retirement, share some amazing tips, and also a very good sense of humor. And he's going to explain how to avoid pitfalls to allow for that better preparation for our dream future. My guest today is Roger Freeman. Roger is a chartered retirement planning counselor, author, speaker, and wealth manager with over three decades, he's a youngster, of experience helping people craft retirement income strategy. He is here to help us address some of the biggest obstacles when building wealth for retirement. Roger is also the author of two books. One is Forging Bonds of Steel, How to Build a Successful and Lasting Relationship with Your Financial Advisor. And the second, Fire Your Retirement Planner, You. Are you ready to learn how to retire in style? Please help me welcome my amazing guest, Roger Freeman. So, Roger, thank you so much for being on the show.
Connie, I'm glad to be here, and I love the fact that you called me a youngster.
Hey, 30 years, 33 decades, that's nothing. We're young.
Yeah, it's 35, but I'm not counting.
Yes, right? I'm telling you, Roger, we're young. We're still young whippersnappers.
You got it.
All right, so my first question, when do you think people should begin starting to save for their retirement?
As long as we're talking about people over 21 that have graduated school, my best answer is tomorrow, because it takes so long to be able to accumulate the amount of assets that you're going to need once you no longer have a paycheck. And the longer you let those assets accumulate, the longer that you invest money and make contributions, the better off you are.
And you know, it's funny because pensions are a thing of days gone by. But 401ks, you know, as soon as you get the job, usually it's 3 months, 6 months. Sometimes they have a little grace period, but you could start contributing. And most companies will match a percentage, 3%, 6%, depending on how nice your company is.
Right. Many companies match, and many companies put in contributions that are very, very generous. The problem is people think that because of the match or the company's generosity, that they don't really have to step up their own contributions. Mm-hmm. And instead of going from 3% to 6 or 7%, they stay at 3% for years and don't even increase their contribution.
And we don't think about it. That's the unfortunate thing, right? Out of sight, out of mind, which is dangerous.
Problem. Yes.
And it's funny, my son had a job, he was maybe 18 years old, and he got a paycheck. He worked for a local Dunkin' Donuts. And at the end of the year, he made a couple of thousand dollars, and my accountant said, you know, you should open a Roth for him.
And absolutely.
Roger never thought of it, and this is a funny story, actually. So he's 18, I approach him, and I said, you know, let's just take $500, so I'm not making you go broke, let's put it in a Roth. He's like, you're taking my money! So I explains, isn't that funny? So I explains what a Roth is, and how by the time he's 65, that sucker could be worth, you know, $1 million, if he puts a few hundred. He was like, can we do 1,000, Mom?
Well, that's great. But the trouble is most kids don't have a mom like Connie.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. So funny. All right. So that's young people. I agree. Start saving now if you're working. 401k. There's so many investment options out there. The sooner the better, and the easier preparing for retirement becomes. Time is on your side, and compound interest obviously is on their side. What about folks who are age 50 and maybe even older that are starting to think about retirement, realize though that they're totally unprepared? What do you recommend?
Well, you know, that's the danger zone. Mm. Once you hit age 50, the idea of retirement and the idea of your last paycheck being 100 or 200 months away, that becomes clearly in focus, and people start to get scared. So the very popular retirement age in this country is 62, although I don't know what I would do with myself if I retired 1 year from now at age 62.
God bless you.
But the point is that if you have 12 years to retirement, that's 144 months, you have to get very, very serious about the steps that you're going to take in order to be able to have a lifestyle sustaining income when you choose to no longer work. And I look at it in three ways. Number one, you have to account for inflation, because you know that every dollar you spend today, years from now, it'll cost $1.40, $1.60, even $2 or more. And that's normal. We've experienced that over the years. That's not a surprise. Number two is people have to understand that they may have to put back more money than they thought, because the cost of health care and long-term care are going through the roof. And Connie, you know they're not going down.
Yeah.
Last but not least, number three, people don't know what they don't know. Connie, you may be a great chiropractor, you may be a great computer programmer or dump truck driver, but what do you know about crafting a retirement income strategy that could potentially take you and your spouse two or even three decades without a paycheck? Those are the three items they really have to focus on. And to do that as their own amateur, and you know, that's why I wrote the whole book, Fire the Amateur in Charge of Your Retirement, especially if that amateur is you. There's so much we don't know because it's not our focus. Go get professional help.
It's true. And you know, you want it. There's so, here's the, I think the problem, right? People, we're in the information age. I could Google whatever I want. I could get whatever recommendations I can. Are they good recommendations? Don't know, because you don't know who wrote it or who recommended it. So I think having someone who can ask you questions as to what does your retirement look like? You know, how do you want to live? Do you want to live near the grandkids? Do you want to travel? Do you want to downsize your house? All these silly, they're not silly questions. They're important questions. I think we need to be guided to avoid those three risks that you just mentioned. It's scary, Roger.
It is. And Connie, by what you said, you reminded me of something my son Jason said years ago. He said, Dad, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Ugh.
So if you Google, for example, retirement planning, you'll get over 17 million offerings in about 2 seconds. Mm. That's not going to do you any good. What you want to do is you want to find a team of credentialed expertise, and you want to go hire a team that you feel comfortable with, where there's chemistry.
Yeah, I think trust is a big factor, right? We choose our doctors based on trust. We choose our chiropractors based on trust, our dentists, all of these professionals. Why wouldn't you do the same with your money? And it's funny, I have my own business and I train in corporations for a living. And a lot of times I'll say to people, especially when I'm in the financial service industry training with banks and insurance companies, et cetera, I'll say to them, what's the most important thing in life? And, you know, I laugh because they always say money. And I say, well, actually, it's your health, right? It's actually your health.
Right.
And like you said before, the healthcare is going up. But number two is our money, that we have to make sure that we live until a ripe old age. And Roger, I don't know if you heard this statistic, but they said that the first person that will live to the age of 20, because we have technology and, you know, replacement parts for our body and medicine and all of that. The person who's going to live to the age of 20 is already born. We don't know who they are.
You mean 120?
120 years old is already born. So using your statistic, if they retire at age 62 and they live to 120, like, holy moly.
Right. The statistics that I've looked at from the insurance industry is that for the typical married couple that is healthy and they're non-smokers, if they retire at age 62, there is a very, very high probability that their joint life expectancy, meaning the last one to die, may be 30 years later, age 92.
Sure.
So I would not want to be the do-it-yourselfer who has to craft a retirement income plan that could potentially span 30 years for one or the both of you.
Well, think about what, you know, we were teasing in the beginning, how young we are. You know, we've been working for 34, 35 years, each of us. And now we're not working. We have no income and we can live the same amount of time. And again, I just want to comment on the increase in healthcare. That's not going away. I can't imagine that that's ever going to change except go upwards, just like inflation.
Right. So, the government doesn't have the money to underwrite it.
No, you're exactly right. That's the bottom line. So, you know, those three big risks, inflation, the healthcare costs, and I don't know what I don't know, right? The individual doesn't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
Can you give us a tip or two on what you would typically help someone get around those risks or protect from those risks?
Well, the first thing that people have to do is understand they need to build a team around them. If they're the amateur, they have to understand if they go it alone, they are taking a very large risk for them and their family. Again, they may be a great computer programmer. This is not their skill set.
Right.
So the first thing that I would do is I would seek referrals from friends and colleagues that are in the same type of socioeconomic area where you are. For example, if you're married with three kids, I would not ask a referral of a single person with no children, okay? If you have a special needs child, I would ask for a referral from someone who has special needs children and has planned for them. So in other words, you want to go to the right kind of people for the referrals. And what you want to do is you want to find a CPA, a certified public accountant. You want to find a independent insurance agent, because, Connie, you know well that if you go onto a Ford lot, odds are you're coming out with a Ford.
Yeah.
You may be a great Buick client. You may be a great Toyota client, but you're coming out with a Ford. Last but not least is you want a referral to a financial planning team. And I'm going to stress the word team. I used to be a solo practitioner for decades. And I'd have clients ask me, Roger, how do you feel? Are you feeling okay? You're not sick, are you?
Yes.
I used to scratch my head wondering, why the heck are these people saying that? Well, I found out later on they were worried about my health. And one of them put it bluntly, Roger, you know more about my money than I do. And if something happens to you, I'm up the creek without a paddle. So that came home to me very, very quickly. And over the years, I have built a team. And when I say team, I want to look at credentialed expertise, Connie. I want on that team a certified financial planner. I want a chartered retirement plan specialist. I want a chartered retirement planning counselor and other designations having to do with financial planning and retirement. Okay, because these are the people that hopefully have a lot of experience in doing what needs to be done to plan a retirement. When you build this type of team around you, it doesn't guarantee success, but it puts you head and shoulders above people that have done nothing.
Yeah, well, and you can't guarantee, because the stock market's volatile, whatever investment you're in, even real estate is volatile. And I think the importance, Roger, of what you're saying is building that team of credentialed people. We all have blind sides. So you certainly want the team in place to help you minimize those blind sides. And the other thing I know I used to do, before I started my own business 17 years ago, I worked for a bank and I was in their trust department, wealth management. And we dealt with multi-million dollar, account holders, you know, who had quite a bit of assets. And the elder care laws change, the estate laws change, and you need somebody who's up to date in that industry to be able to make recommendations. So I agree, Roger, with what you're saying with that, putting that proper team together who's up to date on all of the legalities, regulations, and changes that are happening unbeknownst to the average person.
And Connie, you just made a great point. And the fact is that wealth management, estate planning, investing for retirement, financial planning, in today's world has become so complex that I don't know any one person that is able to understand everything that needs to go into the planning process. And that's why you need a team with multiple members, each perhaps with their own area of expertise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because there's so many changes so rapidly, it's impossible for any one person to really keep track of that. So by divvying up that expertise, I just think it keeps everybody relevant, fresh, and with very important and clear information. So I think that's a great advice from the credentials team. And again, our own blind sides, that we know what we know, we don't know what we don't know. Let's take a
quick... No one's that smart. No one person can know it all.
No, you're right. That's impossible.
And the thing is that, you know, we all have a lot of history, maybe with a stockbroker that we used for a long time that is not credentialed. And Connie, I'm going to lovingly call him Fred. Okay. So many people that I've dealt with had dealt previously with Fred. Might have been at a wirehouse, might have been at a smaller firm. And Fred was the guy that said, you know, buy a couple hundred shares of XYZ at 17. You sold it at 28. He's a hero. The problem is the person that got you here is not the person or team of persons to get you where you need to go now because they lack the credentialed expertise.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, obviously, I think money is second to health, right? I already said that. And if we don't have someone who has that expertise, you know, it's like if you were diagnosed with a fatal disease or whatever, wouldn't you go to the ends of the earth to find the best care possible? Well, why wouldn't we do the same when it comes to our finances? And I do like your recommendation to seek someone who's in the same situation, whether it be with a special needs or no children or with 10 children, so that you get the right expert having your back with whatever your specific situation is. Roger, let's take a really, really quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Social Security and what some of the biggest mistakes you see with that, because that's another one, I think, where we don't know what we don't know, and it could really cost us a lot of money.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change, Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We're back. We're speaking with Roger Friedman, and we're really talking about planning for well into our retirement, and which could be, as Roger gave us the statistics at the beginning of the show, could be 30 years out. So how do we protect ourselves and create the lifestyle that we want to live and certainly not have to change the lifestyle we're living right now, right, Roger? That's the other thing.
Exactly.
All right, so Social Security, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see folks making?
two of the biggest mistakes that I see are, number one, the average person that walks into a Social Security office and applies for Social Security, they mistake the person at Social Security for their own personal financial planner. The people that work at Social Security, I admire them. They're doing a great job with limited resources. I myself would not want to work there. It's probably too hard for me. So I applaud them for what they do. However, they are not trained and they are not qualified to dispense financial planning advice. What their expertise, their area of expertise, is in the Social Security system and the technicalities of how to make it work for a person when they sign up and that they sign up properly. But so many people go in thinking they're going to get personal financial advice from Social Security personnel. And Connie, that's not their job. Okay? That's the first problem. The second problem is the earliest age that you can sign up for Social Security retirement benefits, absent any disability, is age 62. And Connie, I'm going to have you guess, what is the most popular age in the United States to retire now?
62.
Wow, how did you guess that? Okay. Isn't it a coincidence? Okay. So you're right. The most popular age to retire in this country is age 62, which coincidentally is the first time for a non-disabled person to be able to sign up for Social Security retirement benefits. Now, the problem is, for example, my normal retirement age or full retirement income age is at age 66 and 4 months because I was born in 1956. And there's a different age, full retirement age, or FRA as they call it, for, you know, whenever you were born. So I'm going to get a certain amount of money at my full retirement age. But if I were to walk into the Social Security office and instead of getting it at 66 and 4 months, I signed up at age 62, the amount of my monthly check will be permanently reduced for the rest of my life by signing up at age 62.
And okay, so let's say you wait till you're 67. You get your full retirement monthly.
Right.
So you don't forfeit. Do you know what the percentage is that you give up if you sign up at 62 versus 66?
What happens is if you retire at age 62 instead of your normal retirement age, your full retirement age,
right,
you're giving up about 25% permanently.
Wow.
Now, here's the other thing. Let's say, again, my full retirement age, my FRA, is 66 and 4 months. For every year that I wait after that, Connie, if I could figure out a way to have other income and not tap my Social Security yet, for every year I delay, my monthly benefits will rise 8%.
So if you wait for this, let's say I'm going to round you up to 67. So let's say instead of 67, you go to 70. You're adding 24%.
Bingo.
So
you got it.
By putting off that retirement for the 8 years, not only are you recouping the 25% loss, but you're increasing another 24% for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Now, here's one other thing to be aware of. You must, by law, sign up for Social Security by age 70.
Okay.
You cannot wait past age 70, and you will not get any extra credits past age 70. But if, you know, again, if my retirement age was 67, just to round it off, and I waited till I was 69 two more years, I've just put another 16% increase of monthly income in my pocket permanently. And I like those numbers.
Definitely. Absolutely. And there's a little bit, we were talking about inflation before. So that 16% can hedge off a little bit of the inflation that we're going to face going forward as well.
Exactly. And many people say, well, you know, all well and fine to delay Social Security benefits. How am I going to live? Well, you may work part-time. You may have rental real estate. You may be in multi-level marketing. You might have dividend income or interest. There are many, many ways to get cash flow out there, and it's just a matter of how inventive you are and what skill set you have. You might do consulting, for example.
Absolutely. You know what's so cool, Roger, that you just said that? I just interviewed a gentleman from Texas, and he has a vending company. Well, he franchises that, and he actually does it in schools where the schools get a fundraising portion, and then the franchise owner gets whatever the percentage is. And he has kids at the age of 16 who are franchise owners, and they do their local schools. And then he says he has people who have retired but love being around the kids in schools and stuff like that, plus the extra income that they've become franchise owners, and they have another revenue stream in retirement. He said he has somebody that's as old as 80 doing it. So
what a wonderful idea. And make sure the 16-year-olds start a Roth IRA with their parent supervision.
Yes, that's right. So see what I'm saying? There's so many cool ways to make money. Like you said, consult using your expertise. You could do these little franchises. I know somebody once told me they had only had like $50,000 for retirement, which you're going to go through really rapidly. And what they did is they bought a laundromat. So now they had a little bit of work, but they had an income stream that was worth more than that $50,000 to purchase the laundromat. So there's really a lot of ways that people can make money in retirement in order to postpone, like you said, that Social Security by the 2 years or 3 years.
There is. And Connie, you just said something near and dear to my heart. I grew up in my dad's laundry.
Oh, I didn't know that. How cool.
I grew up in my dad's laundry, and I saw firsthand how to run a business. And my dad, at the height of his laundry, had over 40 employees,
Wow. Several
trucks doing deliveries, did wholesale and retail. And it's just a heck of a way to grow up, especially since the laundry was about 200 feet from Times Square.
Wow.
Okay. But having a laundromat or any other type of small business, or even making money at swap meets, might be a great idea to add extra money and to be able to delay receiving Social Security. So getting back to what I said at the beginning, the person who's age 62 who's saying, hey, my buddy John the mailman said I could sign up for Social Security at 62. I'm going to go and make an appointment. Well, here's, you don't know what you don't know. You can sign up, but it might not be a great idea to do so.
Well, I would think, Roger, if someone was ill or ailing, you certainly want to sign up sooner than later. But if you're healthy, like you said before, that, you know, a healthy couple can easily live 30 additional years, why wouldn't you want to hedge your bets and see if you can accumulate that little bit of extra, that 8-16%, whatever it is?
Sure.
Now, I know, Roger, you talk about 8 control factors. We only have about 3 minutes, but if you can talk briefly about those control factors that determine financial success in retirement, I think everybody would find that helpful.
I'd be happy to. The 8 control factors, and they're so important, I wrote a special report on it, which is available on my website, rogeronretirement.com.
Cool.
But the 8 control factors are, number 1, inflation. We spoke a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
2, longevity. We spoke a little bit about that. Number 3, withdrawal rate. At what rate do you withdraw assets from your various investment or retirement accounts? The more you draw down, the less you have, and the more that you're going to have to worry, what if I live too long? Number 4 is healthcare expenses. We spoke about that briefly. Number 5 is retirement strategy. Without a team behind you, you probably don't have a strategy, and you're winging it, which is very, very dangerous. Number 6, asset allocation, how you divide your assets among different types of investments. Number 7, Connie, your mindset. And your mindset is so important. I just wrote my 3rd book, and it's all about retirement mindset. And that book will be out in January. Last but not least is debt. And we all know debt can be a killer, and it could derail even the best laid plans. Those are your eight.
You know, and I just want to comment on a couple. My mom and dad, Roger, my dad just had his 87th birthday, and my mom is 88. God bless. I'm knocking on wood right now.
Congratulations.
Isn't that, I know, amazing.
That's great.
And the my dad asset allocation, okay, they're late 80s. My dad still has quite a bit of his portfolio in stocks. Because right. he realizes that if he doesn't have that up and down movement within the stock market, he's shooting himself in the foot with inflation. So even in their late 80s, they still have quite a bit of money in their stock portfolio. The other thing I want to comment on. Say yep. that again. I'm sorry.
I've run into that before. I'm no stranger to that.
Yeah. And I think he's smart to do that because they're not touching that income between their Social Security, because obviously they have both, and my mom's pension. They really are able to live because, and I want to comment on your last one, debt. My parents, when they retired, they had no mortgage. They had no debt and into retirement now, right? 25 years later that they've been retired. They carry no debt. So when you don't have that, and of course, knock on wood, they're in good health, they have been able to live off of the Social Security and pension, that their money just sits there and grows, which is an amazing situation. So I think those couple of things are really, really important for people to think about. And then the last one is the mindset. I think because my parents are still active and they use their brains and they do things, you know, they go out and they do things. And my father is an engineer by trade, Roger. He right. still works on projects around the house and he does the blueprints and stuff, but isn't that awesome? It keeps him active. The mindset matters as we age. And I think that's such an important control factor. I love that you included that. I think that's brilliant.
Now, Connie, I'll give you the offer. My new book, The Mindset of Retirement Success, is coming out in January. If you say pretty please, I'll send you a free autographed copy by the author.
Pretty please. I love that.
You got it. You're on my list.
You're too much. We really are out of time. I just want to share a couple of things, everybody. I hope you are enticed, and I hope you will go to Roger's website, which is a wealth of information as well. And it's www.rogeronretirement.com. And Roger is R-O-D-G-E-R on retirement.com. And I promise, I know some of you are commuting with us. I will put Roger's website on the Web Talk Enlightenment of Change website so you can click and go right to it. Also, you do, through the website, Roger, have the free ebook. Can you tell us the name again?
Yeah, it's a special report called The 12 Keys to Successful Retirement Planning Your Parents Didn't Teach You. Because odds are you learned anything you know about retirement planning at the water cooler or down the block. You sure as heck didn't learn it from your parents or school.
Well, and think about it. Our parents, they didn't even have a 401k, right?
No,
That was so much later. So you're right. We have so much new Roths weren't, you know, didn't exist. So we have a lot of new information that we need to stay abreast of. So yeah, very good recommendation. If you'd like to reach Roger directly, I'll also post his email address. So it's Roger@RogerOnRetirement.com and Roger, R-O-D-G-E-R. So please reach out to him. Click on that free ebook for that insight, as well as being able to purchase his book, Forging Bonds of Steel, How to Build a Successful and Lasting Relationship with Your Financial Advisor, filled with a bunch of good tips, and also Fire Your Retirement Planner, again, for more information. If you guys need to reach me or have any questions that I can help you with your corporate strategies, endeavors, or even if you're a small business and you need my help, please reach out to me directly at Connie@WhitmanAssoce.com. Of course, you could go to my website, which is www.WhitmanAssoce.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Roger, thank you again for taking time today and just sharing so many, I think, helpful, valuable tips, if not only to raise the awareness of our listeners.
You're very, very welcome, Connie. I had a blast.
Me too. Thank you again for being on. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change, especially if it's financially related, and realize that maybe you can do this, maybe with a team behind you. Thank you again, Roger, for your insights. You guys have been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful and a financially abundant future. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman and Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.